Be seated. Jesus and his 11 disciples, you remember last week they just left the room where they celebrated the Passover and the Lord's Supper. What a holy time, a beautiful, intimate time. They went to the Mount of Olives singing a hymn. They left that beautiful ceremony singing a hymn. What a wonderful moment, a holy time. They were aware of the betrayer. Jesus said one would betray him. And they even questioned themselves. Remember last week in verses 18 and 19, they says, is it I? They were questioning themselves. Could it be I? But I don't think any of them believed that they all would let Jesus down. But I don't believe that. They were saying this really thing, well, I would never do that. And Peter's the only one that spoke up. We seem to think we're a little bit better than others, or above letting someone down, especially the Lord. Jesus speaks to them, all of you will be made to stumble because of me this night, for it is written, I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep will be scattered. It was prophesied in Zechariah chapter 13, verse 7, that that would happen, that he would strike the shepherd, and they will stumble because of him. Did you ever feel you would never stumble, never let the Lord down? Did you ever feel like that? Like, oh, I could never let the Lord down. Never be embarrassed of him. Never be ashamed of the gospel. And Jesus says, all of you will. You're all going to do it. But, verse 28, after I have been raised, I will go before you to Galilee. Jesus tells them, I won't let you down. I will not forsake you. I will rise from the dead. I will be killed. I'll rise from the dead, and I'll see you in Galilee. They would not be let down by Jesus. They would fail him, but he would not fail them. And that's true today. Jesus never fails. He'll never fail you as we do him. Our lesson today is on the spirit versus the flesh. We Christians who have accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, believe in him, been born again, we have been made spiritually alive. We're indwelt with the Holy Spirit. We're body, soul, and spirit. The world is body and soul. They're flesh and their emotions. But we're body, soul, and spirit. We're a triune being. We follow Jesus. Our strength is in Jesus. Our hope is in Jesus. We now have him. We are weak, but he is strong. We sing that song. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. God is not a liar. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. However, the flesh is still hanging on, even though we're born again. Don't you wish it was cut off? Well, that'll be later on in the new heaven and the new earth. Paul knew this. Let's turn to Romans chapter 7. Romans chapter 7. You remember this passage, Romans 7, verse 18. Paul's going, he's going through this battle. Verse 18, for I know that in me, that is in my flesh, nothing good dwells, for to will is present with me, but how to perform what is good I do not find. That is a verse we must accept. You know how we like to think well of ourselves? We're only what we are because of Jesus. You know, when we see a sinner out there and we get down on them and we can't compromise or conform, but and we can call sin sin, but we can kind of feel we're a little better. But for the grace of God, there go I. There goes me. And we need to know this in verse 17. Paul says in verse 18, in my flesh, nothing good dwells. So the next time you feel really on top of the mountain, like you got it wired and you're okay, you're a Christian, just remember this. Hey, in your flesh, nothing good dwells. He says, I want to do what's right, but I can't perform. For the good that I will to do, I do not do, but the evil I will not do, that I practice. Hey, I don't want to do that. I didn't want to say that, but I did. I don't want to do that. I don't want to be like that anymore, but I can't get rid of it. Now, if I do what I will not to do, well, it's no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me, because I'm a new creature. It's the sin, the flesh still in me. I find in the law that evil is present with me, the one who wills to do good. For I delight in the law of God according to the inward man. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? Did you ever cry that out? Look in the mirror one day and say, oh, you wretched man, why did you do that? Why did you say that? And if you stop there, and a lot of people stop there at verse 24, there's a lot of people that say, well, I am what I am and I can't help it. I'm a wretched man and Paul couldn't help it and neither could I. O wretched man that I am. And people abuse grace and live in sin. Say, well, that's just my nature. O wretched man, but they don't read verse 25. Paul was given the answer. He says in verse 24, who will deliver me from this body of death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. We are more than conquerors. We can beat the flesh. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. You see, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So Jesus is sharing that with his disciples, and we get back to our text. And in verse 29, Peter, the one who's always talking, you know, you should be slow to speak. This guy was never slow to speak, and he always got reprimanded. Verse 29, Peter said to him, even if all were made to stumble, yet I will not be. What is he saying? He's saying he's overestimating himself. He's looking within and counting on his flesh. He thinks of himself more highly than he ought to, and the Bible tells us not to. He doesn't consider himself a wretched man. Jesus, you know what he's doing? He's counseling Jesus. He's done that a couple times. Hey, Jesus, even if all the others are going to stumble or be offended of you, I will not. What is he saying? He's better than all the other disciples. We see two fleshly activities here. Our downfall. Two fleshly activities. Self-confidence and pride. Self-confidence and pride. The human nature. So easy to get into the flesh and think we're great, isn't it? And don't we love it when someone praises us? Oh, that's okay. It wasn't me. It was the Lord. But inside you're thinking, more. Tell me more. Human nature. What does God's word say? Turn to Philippians chapter 3, please. Philippians chapter 3, verse 3. Philippians 3, verse 3. For we are the circumcision. We are born again, cut off the flesh, who worship God in the Spirit, who rejoice in Jesus Christ, and have no confidence in the flesh. How much confidence should we have in our flesh? None. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Proverbs 16. Proverbs 16, please. verse 18. Pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Better to be of a humble spirit with the lowly than to divide the spoil with the proud. Pride goes before destruction, a haughty spirit before a fall. You're going to fall as soon as you start praising yourself. You can expect the fall. No one's going to escape God's word. It's true. Peter was proclaiming that he knew more than Jesus. Because Jesus just said, you're all going to stumble. And Peter is saying, you're wrong. You're wrong, Lord. I won't. You forgot about me. I wouldn't stumble. He was proclaiming that he knew more than Jesus. So what does Jesus say, verse 30? Jesus said to him, assuredly I say to you that today, even this night, before the rooster crows twice, you will deny me three times. Peter, you're going to deny me three times tonight. And he just said he never would. Did you ever tell the Lord I'd never do that? And did you do it? God bless you. And did you tell the Lord I'll never do it again? And did you do it again? What we need to say is, God, help me. Help me not to do that again. I can't control myself. I need your help. I need to be walking in the Spirit. I need to pray about this. He says, you're going to deny me three times. Verse 31. But he spoke. Peter denies the Lord's word again. He says, he spoke more vehemently. He's really arguing this. You don't understand, Jesus. If I have to die with you, I will not deny you. And they all said likewise. Now everybody joins in. Hey, Peter's not the only tough guy here. All of us will die for you. We're all good. We're all great soldiers. None of us will deny you, Lord. Wow. But do you see how it spreads? You know, human nature, the flesh spreads. And others join in. That's why it's so good to be in a Bible teaching church where you're hearing the Bible, the Word of God, verse by verse, and you get to hear the whole counsel of God, and we get to hear our flesh is nothing. You know, we come to get equipped for the work of the ministry, and the work of the ministry needs to be done through the Holy Spirit. We don't come here to get pumped up to go out there and sell more product. We're not selling a product. We're giving away gifts. Jesus Christ. And we need to be prepared for that. Have a giving attitude, a loving attitude. And we need to know who we are and who the Lord is. So Peter, you know, really trusts in himself, doesn't he? Verse 31. I will die for you. I will not deny you. You notice the words though, I. It's all I. So lesson number one, defeating the flesh. Lesson number one, know yourself and know the Lord. Know who you are, how weak you are, and know the Lord. Know how weak you are, but also know how powerful He is. Nothing is impossible for God. Isn't that great? You have His power available to you. Trust in the Lord and not in your good intentions. I'm sure we've all had a lot of good intentions. It didn't come to pass. Now, we're going to see just how strong. That's why we're going through this whole passage here, because Jesus is teaching them on this, how weak the flesh is. And it's great. He immediately gives them an exam. Isn't it great to be tested? And tested right away so you don't get carried away with yourself. Because you might think you know more than you really know until you're tested. So we're going to see just how strong these followers in Peter are. Verse 32. Then they came to a place which was named Gethsemane, which means olive press. That's quite a name for that place, isn't it? Olive press. That's where Jesus was pressed. And he said to his disciples, sit here while I pray. Jesus gives them a simple command. Sit here while I pray. He's facing agony, pain, death. So he prays to the Father. And then he takes Peter, James, and John with him, the three amigos here, always kind of together, and he began to be troubled and deeply distressed. Now, if someone's troubled, deeply distressed, and they say, sit here while I pray, I think you might want to pray with them. What do you think? They're not there yet. You see, he tells them. He takes them. He becomes troubled, deeply distressed. So in other words, there was a visible change in Jesus. And when you're down and you're brokenhearted and you're going through sorrow, it shows. It shows. You know, sometimes people come up to you and say, what's going on? Something troubling you? No, I'm great. Don't do that. Be willing to share with a brother or sister in the Lord and pray. That's how we defeat the enemy. The enemy wants to isolate us in our trouble. We as Christians should come alongside and pray with people. Don't ever be afraid to be honest and say what's going on. Some people are too super spiritual, too holy. Because if they share what's going on, you might think they're not such a great Christian. We don't want that attitude. Jesus said, pray for one another. Weep with those that weep and rejoice with those that rejoice. Enemies, big attack on the church. Isolation. Don't tell anybody what's wrong. That's straight from hell. Jesus said, pray for one another. Love one another. And there's a difference between praying for and praying with. He's there. He needs someone alongside. Pray with them. Be willing to do that. That's how we're strong as an army, standing shoulder to shoulder. He tells them, you know, verse 34, my soul, he even tells them, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. Stay here and watch. He's going through a very trying time. Jesus knew it was about to happen what he came to do, to go through the agony, bear the sin of the world, have the emotional and stress and agony that goes along with that, and a separation from the Father. And Christians, we go through sorrowful, distressing times while here on earth. The way to victory over them is to walk in the Spirit. Stay in the Spirit and don't get in the flesh. Go to God. In verse 34, he says, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. Stay here and watch. Stay awake, watch with me. And in verse 38, we'll see, he also said, pray. Watch and pray. We aren't just to look at a person in distress and say, God bless you, or I'll pray for you. Pray with them right now. We aren't to look at a person in distress and just watch. But watch and pray. Be there. And if you know someone in trouble, pray. Pray with them. Pray for them. So the first lesson is know yourself. You know yourself. Know the Lord. And the second lesson is watch and pray. That's how we defeat the flesh. Know God. Know ourselves. Then watch and pray. In sorrow, in the fires of life, and all things, pray. Be in communication with God. Be talking to God. He's very present help in trouble, Psalm 46:1. He's a very present help in trouble. Right away, pray. Verse 35, he went a little farther and fell on the ground and prayed that if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. He falls on the ground and prayed, the Son of God, and always like us except without sin. He prayed. What did he pray? If possible, that that cup, that hour, might pass from him. God, take the cup of the cross away from me. If it were possible, let it pass. It's okay. It's okay to pray that God would deliver you from the trouble, from the fire, from the victory. A lot of people wonder, like, can I pray for deliverance or just for victory, or not victory, but just to have it be delivered from it? Jesus did. He says, if it's possible, now we know all things are possible. He affirms that in verse 36. He said, Abba, Father, all things are possible for you. First he says, take this cup away, this trial, this hurt, this pain. Take it away, if possible. And the next thing he says, and it is possible. All things are possible for you. Take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what you will. Boy, there's where people run into a problem. God can do it, but he won't do it for me. Why? He can do it. He can do all things. He could have taken the cup away. Jesus wouldn't have had to go through it. The Son. But he prayed at the end of it, nevertheless, your will be done. So it's okay to pray, to be delivered, be healed, be removed from the distress, get out of the trouble, get out of the fire. That's a good prayer. As long as we pray, nevertheless, your will be done. And that's where the devil can play with our minds. Well, why won't God do it? Well, he is doing it if you say, nevertheless, your will be done. He is answering, but the cup must remain. Why? We know that all things work together for good to those who love God, that are the called according to his purpose, Romans 8:28. Wow. You notice in a lot of things Paul writes, we know. You have to know that, not only in your head, but in your heart, so that if God says, no, I'm not going to remove the cup of affliction, but I have a better plan. Wow, isn't that hard? It's so easy to teach, so easy to read, but isn't it hard to live it? But not impossible. It's all possible with God. To just accept the fact, my God could do this, could remove this, could bring this into my life, could deliver me, could not, could do all kinds of things, but he's choosing not to because his will is not to do that, it's to do something better. It takes a strong faith to just say, okay, God. See, in trials, you either get bitter or better. We want to get better. We want to get to know our God. That's what Job learned. If you read the end of the book of Job, last chapter, he says, I knew you, but now, by more or less head knowledge, but now I really know you. What's better than that, coming to that? You're God. You can do anything. Through affliction, through trouble, through pain, we get close to God as long as we go through it in the Spirit. And then you look back at your life and you say, boy, I wouldn't change that for anything. God did a good work in me. See, God loves you. In Christianity, there's so much we think about in general population. Talk about churches or groups or general population. Christianity is a personal relationship. It's you and God. That's all. It's you and God, and you make up the bride of Christ. He loves you, and he's working for you just like he is in every other single human being. He doesn't work in groups. He works in individuals. And what you're going through is not unique. It doesn't mean he doesn't love you. It means he loves you more than someone else. Nope. It means it's you and God. Isn't it wonderful? I'm married to my wife, and you know what? It's me and my wife. There's no other partners in that marriage. It's just us, because we love each other. And that's how unique your relationship is with God. It's you and God. So we don't measure by others or what he did for them or what's happening. It's you and God. And what he does is working for good in your life. Maybe a different way than anybody else. But we know God can do it. And if he chooses to do it, that's great. If he chooses to keep it the same, that's great. It's all God. So the third lesson is in defeating the flesh. Remember, nevertheless, not what I will, but what you will. God's will must be the desire of your heart. That's the third lesson. It must be that we so want God's will done in our life that whatever happens, we know is from God. And it'll get us better and not bitter. We must know that. We must know that. We pray and desire for God's will to be done in our life. That's the kind of prayer we have. Nevertheless, God, your will be done. We know God's will is best for us. Always pray for God's will. Sometimes it will be deliverance. Sometimes not. We'll go through the trial. Verse 37. Then he came and found them sleeping. Now, do you think they would be praying after they see what he's going through? He finds them sleeping, and he said to Peter, he singles him out. That's great, isn't it? Simon, are you sleeping? Could you not watch 1 hour? Wow. This guy would die for Christ, and he couldn't stay awake and pray an hour. What a strong guy. Isn't it awful when God shows you who you are? Oh. You couldn't stay awake 1 hour, Peter? Jesus is teaching through all of this. Simon Peter surely would be praying, be concerned about Jesus. He so loved Jesus. So many people say, I love the Lord. I love Jesus. But I got something else to do tonight. I so want to be with him, but got to go to this event. Be careful what you promise the Lord. What you vow to do for God. What you promise to others. Know your flesh and how weak you are. Pray and rely on the Spirit and not self. Simon, are you sleeping? Could you not watch 1 hour? You couldn't stay awake 1 hour? Peter said he would die for him. Verse 38, watch and pray. Hey, be alert of the circumstances and pray, lest you enter into temptation. If you don't, the devil will get a hold of you. Temptation is at the door. The Spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. The Spirit is willing. Hey, I'll die for Jesus. I'll never deny him. I'll defend him. I'll go to the end with him. The Spirit is willing, but the flesh and Peter and everyone else is weak. We have to watch out what we proclaim. That's why we pray before we commit or talk or anything. Could you not watch 1 hour? He would die for the Lord, and he couldn't stay awake 1 hour. Let's turn to Galatians 5, verse 16, please. Galatians 5, verse 16. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. There is one verse I use a lot when counseling other people, and people that seem they can't get rid of something. There is one verse in the Bible, and we know God's word is true, that gives us victory of falling to the flesh. And it's Galatians 5:16. Let's all read it together out loud, Galatians 5:16. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Do you believe that? Okay. There's your answer. And if you walked in here today and says, I just can't stop doing that. Well, you've learned that you've been lying. And now you can go home with this verse that you just proclaimed and say, victory. But I must walk in the Spirit. Pray. Focus on God. Watch. We'll go through a couple of things. So there is war between the flesh and the Spirit. And back to our text. In verse 38, he said, watch lest you enter into temptation. And we know that temptation leads to sin. So that's the first step. So you walk away. Walking in the Spirit is walking away. There's a war between the flesh and the Spirit. If we don't watch and pray, we will enter into temptation because the flesh is weak. And the next step would be giving into temptation and sinning if we are in the flesh and not in the Spirit. But if you walk in the Spirit, you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. We pray, we obey God's word, we're alert. Peter did none of that. He just spoke. Everybody can speak a good walk, but not everybody can walk the walk unless you're filled with the Holy Spirit and walking in the Spirit. The Spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. That's fact. Even though we're born again, we're new creatures in Christ, we still have the flesh in this life, and there's warfare going on, and we have to use our weapons of warfare, which you see in the book of Ephesians. We must walk in the Spirit and do those things. Put on the whole armor of God. What can I do about this flesh that's still hanging on? Number one, know it. Know it. Know how strong it is. Number two, don't give in to it. Don't give in to it. Walk in the Spirit. They put that piece of pie or something in front of you, and you know the doctor said you can't eat it. You push it away. You say no. You simply say no. You flee fornication. There's many things in the Bible we're told to do in the face of temptation. You don't give in. You know, first, you know it. Secondly, you don't give in. You pray. You be in God's word. You fill your mind and heart with spiritual things. Number three, you don't feed it. You don't feed it. You don't feed it. You don't encourage the flesh by catering to it or being in places or positions that would tempt you and the flesh because it's weak. You don't want to feed it. You flee sin. You flee sexual situations, sinful situations. Number four, you crucify it. You crucify it. Galatians 5, verse 24. Let's turn to Galatians 5, verse 24. Galatians 5, verse 24. And those who are Christ's have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. We crucify it. We consider it dead. Consider it dead. No longer a slave to it. Romans 6, 6. Don't be a slave to sin. It's your master in your flesh. The flesh will cause you to sin. Romans 6, 6. You know, we consider it dead. You don't feed a dead person. You don't feed the flesh. We've crucified it. And the fifth thing we do, like our message 2 weeks ago, put Jesus first in your life. Jesus must be first in your life, your master. You follow him and you will walk in the Spirit. Love as he loved, live as he lived, do everything as he did. Let's turn to Matthew 16, please. Matthew 16, verse 24. Then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. You notice the first thing, deny yourself. There's a lot of denial, self-denial, in following Jesus. We don't do certain things. We don't feed the flesh. We deny the flesh. And we take up our cross, whatever it is in our life. You know, we follow Jesus. And if we follow Jesus, we'll be walking in the Spirit. So back to our text, verse 39. Again he went away and prayed and said the same words. So Jesus walks away. He prayed the same. And then he returns. And when he returned, he found them what? Praying. No. He found them asleep again. They didn't get it. They're still asleep. For their eyes were heavy. And they gave in to that. And they did not know what to answer him. I like the last part of that. Did you ever get busted and you don't know what to answer? I mean, we usually have answers and excuses, don't we? But there are those unique times where we just get caught and you don't know what to say. That's where they were. They did not know, what can we say? We're sleeping again. I did it again. I'm guilty. They did not obey him. They did not watch and pray. They didn't give in to the Spirit. They gave in to the flesh. Are you sleeping? Couldn't you watch with me? They didn't know what to answer. And guess what? There's going to be three strikes, verse 41. Then he came the third time and said to them, are you still sleeping and resting? Wow. You know, happens to us, doesn't it? Third time. Oh, Lord, forgive me. Why did I do this again? Why did I say that again? They weren't watching and praying. They were letting the flesh win over the Spirit. You know what the good news is? Jesus doesn't give up on them. And he doesn't on you. He loves you. And he works with you. Hopefully you're growing and I'm growing. And we learn. Verse 41. Then he came the third time. Are you still sleeping and resting? And he says, it is enough. The hour has come. Behold, the Son of Man is being betrayed into the hands of sinners. When I read the last part of verse 41, it is enough. The hour is come. I'm going to be handed over. This seems to be the place where Jesus submits to drinking the cup. How long do I pray for a certain thing over a certain way? When the Lord speaks and you know it. When he says, nope, you're going through this. Deliverance hasn't come. This seems to be the place. Three times, coming back, watching them sleep, not even praying for him, not even caring about him. That's the answer that Jesus got. Man is not strong enough to save himself. He can't live right. This is the place where Jesus says, it is enough, where he came to peace and realized, the hour has come. I must go through this. I must drink this cup. They have failed. They can't care enough. You know, we think we so love God and Jesus that, gosh, we would never do anything wrong. And you so love him, and you have those beautiful times of worship and study and all. And yet we do let him down at times. That's our human nature, our flesh. We give into it. Jesus saw there is no other way of salvation, no other way of man in his flesh through his own works to be made right with God. He realized that because the flesh is weak, even though the Spirit is willing. The flesh fails us. We give into it and it fails us. Good intentions or promises are not enough. Man needs a Savior. Thank God we have a loving God who gave us his Son to die on the cross for our sin. But we now have the power of the Holy Spirit. We have more than these disciples had. We're indwelt with the Holy Spirit. And we can have victory over the flesh. Can't save ourselves, but we can have victory over the flesh. But we must, as Jesus did here, accept God's answer at one point in time in our life, or we'll never move on. We must accept his answer, whatever it is, and go through whatever it is. It's God's will, and there will be victory in some way. So it's not a message of gloom. It's a message of hope that God knows what's best. And if his answer is, take the cup embrace the cross, then we do it joyfully, knowing, wow, God has a good plan because he loves me. He loves his children, and he has something great planned through all of this. Jesus took the cup. Friday looked very bad, but what happened Sunday? He rose from the dead. Just remember in your trials, Sunday's a-coming. It's coming. The Son, Jesus, must drink the cup, but now we have the power to walk in the Spirit, and the choice is ours. Verse 42, rise, let us be going. See, my betrayer is at hand. Get up, go on, and praise the Lord. God, we thank you for your word today. We thank you for your great love for us. Lord, help us. It is uncomfortable going through trials. You went through agony, Jesus, and you identify with us. And Lord, as we go through difficult times, horrible news at times, heartbreak, different things in life that just seem to afflict us, please help us to walk in the Spirit. And I pray for everyone in this room today that's going through it, a very difficult, fiery trial. I pray, Lord, that they would walk in the Spirit, that they would pray, be in your word, communicating with you, that they would watch, that they would be alert, and that they would deny and resist the enemy and the flesh. Give them the strength to do that, Lord. And please be merciful and gracious to them, to all of us. Give us your strength to walk through with victory. Lord, lift everyone in this room up this morning. Maybe they've heard bad news or gone through another sleepless night. I pray they would understand that you're on the throne. You know what they're going through, and you love them, and that you have a plan in all of this, a wonderful plan. And one day, we'll all be together in glory, rejoicing in the Lord. No more sorrow, no more pain, no more hurt, just joy forevermore. But while we're here, bless us and help us, Lord. And we pray that in Jesus' name, amen.